Hello and welcome. You're about to enjoy another exciting message from Adversary Christ the King. Here at ACTK, we believe in bringing people in to believe, building people up to belong, and sending people out to serve. If you have any other questions about our beliefs and values, or would just like general information about the different resources here at Adversary Christ the King, you can visit our website at www.actk.ca. Now let's listen to this week's message.
All right, guys, we are going to be continuing on in our sermon series that we started last week, Game Changer. A game changer. What we talked about and began last week is talking, and we're focusing on our weeks ahead, coming up and approaching Easter. This game-changing event that happened some 2,000 years ago, Jesus dying on the cross, what he did on the cross, and how this changed everything, and the impact of that very event, that very act of his love, his sacrifice, his work done on the cross, how that impacts you and me in our very lives today. We talked about last week, in particular, forgiveness, and the forgiveness of our sins, what Jesus did, his shed blood for us, that we would be forgiven of our sins. And this week, we're going to be talking about something really significant in my heart. You know, I want to pray, and I want to ask, I don't know, there seems to be a time and season, even in my life, where I feel kind of discouraged, disheartened. Anybody here with me? You know, I mean, anybody feeling like, you know, you just want to just give up? What's the use? Why kind of continue on, you know, in your life journey, in your life path? Or perhaps you're kind of thinking, wow, this marriage is really hard, or just being a parent is really hard and difficult, or situations are going on in the workplace right now. You're like, wow, why even bother? This is just way too hard. You're feeling just so disheartened and discouraged. Perhaps you're feeling, yeah, even in your relationship with your spouse, relationship with your kids, wow, this is just really too hard for me. Why even bother? You're feeling really disheartened, really, or perhaps even circumstances, financial circumstances in your life. You're feeling, man, there is no hope. There is no hope. And my hope and prayer today is that God's word, as we go over God's word in his passage today, that he would be able to inspire and encourage you with hope today. Hope to carry on. That what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago, more than anything else, can inspire hope for you and for me to live out our very lives, despite discouragement, despite heartache, despite whatever circumstances we may face in our lives. There is hope for you and for me because of what Jesus did, this game-changing event. So will you please open up your Bibles, or you can turn to the screen over here. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 12 here. And here's... Here, we'll read. It'll be up on the screen as well. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain, and she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous and red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. Now here it is. Let me kind of preface what's going on here. John here, seeing a vision here, seeing a vision from the Lord here, seeing this woman, a woman here representing God's people or nation of Israel over here, a woman here clothed with the sun and the moon, and she's about to give birth. This is talking about the promise of a child being born out of the nation of Israel. This child was no ordinary child, because here we pick it up in verse 5. Verse 5 here, she gave birth to a son, a male child who would rule all the nations with an iron scepter, Jesus Christ here. Now here, her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Now here, the dragon here is attempting to kill and do harm to his child and snatched up to the throne of God. Then the woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. An epic battle here going on in heaven. But he was not strong enough. The dragon, that is. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. The ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." Now, here's an important thing that's kind of going on what God's word and the vision here in Revelation, we're seeing this epic battle that's going on here, where the devil here is out to get God's people here, out to get Jesus Christ, who's being born out of the nation of Israel here. And now we see this epic battle going on in heaven, and then the dragon or the devil is cast down with his angels down to earth. And then we see now here in verse 17, it adds this, "Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring," verse 17. Now, here's an important thing that I really want to kind of emphasize and highlight over here for us, is this very important truth. Understand this, for those of us here that are feeling kind of distracted, discouraged, hopeless, and helpless in our lives, this text shows a very important point here for us to understand here. There's more that's going on in our lives that meets the eye. And this is important for us to understand here is this, is that each and every one of us, as God's children, as his people, as the offspring here, as the offspring of the nation of Israel here, all of us, each and every one of us are, well, under attack. We are under attack. You and me are under attack. There is a war being waged against each and every one of us. The enemy is enraged. He is furious right now because he knows his time is short. And he is out literally to kill, steal, and destroy everything that God would have planned and purposes for you, for your life, for your marriage, for your children, for your ministries, for the work that he places in your hand, for your life purpose. He is out to rob, kill, and destroy everything that you would have. He's out to get you. And there's this picture that we see here in this text of the enemy, his attack and his war against God's people. But there's also a very important image here, not only the enemy attacking and going against God's people over here, but there's another image here that as the enemy attacks, God's people are victorious, that they overcome. The text says that God, they overcome. And so not only do we see that you are under attack, but a very important thing here, too, is this hope that we have is that you are victorious as well. That you may certainly be under attack, but you are victorious as well. You are victorious as well. The enemy might be all out against you, but there is victory. There is hope for each and every one of us. Despite whatever might be going on in family, whatever might be going on in our workplaces, whatever might be going on in our finances, whatever might be going on in our health, that there is hope and there is victory. There is victory. Now, I want to paint it and highlight for the remainder of our time that, well, how is that a victory is achieved? In particular, we'll be looking at verse 11 here, in Revelation chapter 12, talking about specifically how do we achieve victory? How is victory won? How do we overcome the enemy and his attacks? And that's here brought out here. They triumphed. God's people here, they triumphed. They overcame. They overcame him, the enemy, the devil here, the accuser of the brethren and the sisters, the deceiver. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. Now here's an important thing why I asked, well, blood of the Lamb. What we talked about last week, remember, blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ covered sins, atoned for sins. Finally, that we are all forgiven. And we see here in Revelation that Satan is called the accuser. He's the one that wants to accuse you of saying, "Hey, I can't believe you're thinking about doing that. Don't you remember what you did then and there? You think you're good enough for that? I don't think so. You're not up to that. The accuser. And what God wants to write, and we're covered with Jesus Christ's blood, there is no accusation. As we were just talking about, even in our time, as we were praying earlier during our worship time, I mean, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We talked and we walked and we unpacked that last week, that we are forgiven of sins. But in particular, this imagery of war and significance of the blood of the Lamb and how that plays into, and very important things, it's important not only to understand here, we need to understand the historical context of what blood of the Lamb is involved, especially in war imagery. And here it is, and that harkens way back to the book of Exodus. God uses here the blood of the Lamb to establish covenant and promise for some very specific things. Exodus chapter 24, follow along with you here. Then Moses took the blood from the basins and spattered it over the people, declaring, look, this blood confirms the covenant the Lord has made with you in giving you these instructions. Here's an important thing here. God, first, he establishes, context here, God delivers his people from Egypt, and now he's setting forth his promises to his people, his covenant, his contract with his people. As they're entering into the promised land, he's saying, here's a contract that I am setting up between you. You follow after me, you obey all my commands, and here it is. And I promise before you that as you walk into the land, that as you face you face nations and people groups that are way more powerful than you are, I will promise to you that I go before you and I will be bringing you victory. And here's the thing. I am going to be setting up now a contract, a commitment that I am making before you. And how that commitment is going to be made, the sign of that commitment here is going to be bound, it's going to be sealed here by blood. And he tells Moses, to sacrifice the blood of the Lamb and to be covering it with the over the people, because it's a sign. It's just like as we today sign over into a covenant or agreement here. You sign a lease, you sign your mortgage thing. There's a commitment that's being made that I'm going to be doing this. I'll be doing this. And so here we have God here setting up this covenant through the blood of the Lamb here amongst his people, his contract, saying that as you head out into the land of Canaan, as you are facing opposition, I will be promising you that I will be the one that will be bringing you victory. You may be up against impossible situations, things that will hurt, harm, and destroy you if left to your own, but I will be promising to you, here's my commitment to you, and it's going to be sealed with blood here. My commitment, my contract with you, my commitment with you, my agreement with you is that you follow me, and I promise you, as you step into the land, I am the one that's going to be overcoming and bringing you victory. And now, jump ahead, we see Jesus here, Luke chapter 22, verse 20, he says, after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Jesus is saying now, there is a new contract, new covenant, new commitment being made here. My new covenant, in my blood. Not just the blood of any ordinary lamb, but my covenant, my commitment here made before you, that I am contracting here. God is the one that provides the lamb, Jesus Christ himself, and says, it's my blood being poured out for you as an atonement, not only for sins, but as an agreement, as a contract, as a commitment, that no matter what happens, as you walk out into the world, opposition, whatever you are, as I save you, as I deliver you out of the nation of Israel for us, for salvation, for sins, as you step into the land of Canaan, into the land of promise, I promise you victory. That you won't be the only one fighting. I will be the one fighting for you. You guys, wow, it's like, wow, way too early right now. Bob, take it easy on me, please. We need to receive this, guys. Wake up, let's wake up. Because John chapter 16 It brings new life in the Jesus word. I like in the amplified version of John chapter 16. Jesus says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Jesus says, this is my blood, my contract, my commitment. There certainly will be hardships. There certainly will be difficulties that you will face. That is part of living in this sinful, broken world. But I tell you what, take heart, be encouraged. Be encouraged, be strengthened, be bold. Be bold here because understand here as you face whatever you face and hardships and difficulties and pressures, everything that you don't worry about that because take heart, be encouraged, be strengthened because I have overcome the world because every power that might be against you, I have disarmed it and I will be the one bringing victory for you. He promises that. He promises that. To understand this very fundamental, important truth, the hope that God wants us, no matter what we're going through, when we be feeling like giving up here, God says that you are victorious through Christ and his blood. You are victorious through Christ and his blood. His shed blood, the game-changing event that happened some 2,000 years ago is that Jesus Christ shed his blood, not only for atonement or covering, for forgiveness of our sins, that we may have salvation and deliverance from our sins, but he also binds a covenant, a new covenant, which is in my blood, a contract and commitment that I will be bringing you victory. No matter what we might be facing in this world, and there will be hardships, there will be difficulties, but he says, I will overcome. I have overcome by his work on the cross. He eliminated the power of sin. He eliminated the power of the enemy in his work in our lives by this game-changing event on the cross. It is us. It is us as believers to own this, to believe it in our very heart of hearts, to know who Jesus Christ is, what he has done, because this changes everything. Changes everything because it's an important thing. Not only here do people triumph by the blood of the Lamb, but it also notes here, they triumph here, verse 11, they triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By the word of their testimony. It's important here for us to understand, what does that mean? By the word of their testimony, how do they conquer? Not just by the blood of the Lamb here, how do they conquer by the word of their testimony? That's here. Let me give you a definition. Having an unwavering trust in the words and testimony of and about Jesus. Let me repeat that again. Having an unwavering trust in the words and testimony of and about Jesus. About who he is, who he claims himself to be. This is fundamental and crucial for us as believers to understand that we have the blood of the Lamb, his contract, his commitment, that he has overcome the world and he promises victory. No matter what we go through, there is victory. We must have an unwavering trust to Jesus Christ, his testimony about himself and whom he claims to be. Because it's interesting to note here that amongst all the doubters, especially here the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders of the day, they ask for Jesus, show us a miracle. Show us a sign here. Show us a sign of who you are. Then we'll believe you. I mean, you're saying all these kind of crazy things and radical things and about you might be the Son of God and all these kind of things. Well, you show us a miraculous sign and maybe we'll believe. And here's, I want to draw this, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 through 40. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, that is Jesus, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Verse 39, Jesus, he answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Here it is, the doubters here are asking Jesus, prove who you are. Jesus, I won't give you any miraculous proof. Well, here's but one. The one here is the sign of Jonah. is talking about here, the sign of Job, that the Son of Man will be going down into the earth and for 3 days, three nights, and he'll be rising again. Jesus is talking about the work of the cross. That if you're looking for a sign, the ultimate sign, the miraculous sign that Jesus says, the game-changing event that Jesus said, if you're looking for my final proof, the evidence of what I say about who I am, what I'm about, what I will do in people's lives, if you want the evidence, here it is. It's done at the cross. It is done at the cross. It is signed, sealed, delivered, done, complete at the cross. That here we are now. The Pharisees didn't get to see the cross right then and there. But we, some 2,000 years ago, we know that the tomb is empty. Amen. We know that Jesus died 3 days. 3 days, buried, gone, rose from the dead. That the sign that Jesus, the proof, if you want proof, you want a miracle here to say, to prove who I am as the Son of God, Savior of the world, as the sanctifier, as the healer, as the deliverer, as the victor for my people, as the protector, as the provider, as the sanctifier for my people. The evidence is done at the cross. At the cross. And the emphasis now, the emphasis behind that for you and for me is that we can believe, you can believe in Jesus Christ. You can believe in who he is. You can believe in what everything that Jesus said about himself. Everything that Jesus said about himself that you can believe. Because we know the cross happened. Even non-believing documents know that there's a Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross. And there's evidence too that he walked after 3 days later. There was witnesses' accounts. Non-biblical literature that says that as well. There is evidence that we could believe. You can believe everything that Jesus, because he provided evidence, game-changing evidence at the cross. At the cross. And I want to ask, belief is so fundamentally important here. Because here it is, for 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. God's word says this, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross." Here it is. God's word says that it's fundamental. If we want to be overcomers, the key to overcome, the key to victory in our lives is belief, is faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That there was evidence given that he is the Son of God, that at his baptism, remember the dove came down, you hear God saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Remember that? But it's also here at the cross. The cross was the evidence that he is the Son of God, crucified, dead, and risen again. This is the evidence that we could believe everything that Jesus said about himself. And this belief, this faith that we have in who Jesus is, who he claimed himself to be, who he said, what he says he will do in our lives, that this faith in him and him alone will allow us to overcome and have victory in our lives. You know, I asked in my heart, in the midst of discouragement, in the midst of feeling like there is no hope to go on in life, and what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say about himself? And here's some foundational things that I want us to go through here for us to hear, to receive, that we may have hope, that we may believe and be set free, that we may have victory. Jesus says this, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age. I will not leave you as all orphans. I will come to you. I am sending you the Holy Spirit. I am praying for you. I am living in you and living my life through you. I am giving you strength and power to do all things. I am preparing a place for you and will come back and take you to be with me. Amazing and profound things that Jesus says about what he's about, who he is, what he promises to do in our lives that inspires hope and encouragement that no matter what we are facing, no matter what we can, what we are going through in our lives, there is hope. Because Jesus Christ is our victor. By the word of our testimony, by the word of what Jesus says about himself, who he is, whom he claimed him to be, we could believe it. We could believe it. We could speak it. We could live it. Fundamental things for us. As we go through hardships, as we go through difficulties, as we go through trials and discouragement, now is the time, my friend. Now is the time, my friend, that we have victory by the word of the testimony. Believe in it, speak in it, and live in it. Fundamental things, believe in it, speak in it, live in it. Finally, speaking here too, I want to encourage, my fear is that in our North American culture, in our churches today, we are growing more and more biblically illiterate. We no longer know what the Bible says. We no longer know what Jesus even says, to even be able to fall back on his promises and know what he says about himself, that we can have hope. And I want to encourage you today to get in God's word. Get in God's word. Feed on God's word, because that is where your hope can be found. That is where Jesus' words can be found to you. To receive knowledge of God's word, you got to know it. Don't wander on through life, because the enemy wants to delight, deceive, and destroy you. And there's the only way that you can, there's no way you can discern between the lies, but that's by knowing the truth. The truth that will set you free. But not only just knowing it, but believing it, owning it. And here's the important thing, to speak it out too. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, you know, when you believe in your heart and you speak it out, you're saved. When you believe in your heart, speak out, confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Speaking out, it changes everything. It changes everything. Remember last week, guys, we were talking about just saying, I am holy, what that did to you? How about this? I am victorious. Speak that out. Speak that out right now. I am victorious. I am victorious. I am victorious. What does that do to your heart? What does that do to your mindset? What does that do to your very life? Speak it out. But not only speak it out, to live it out as well. It is fundamentally important here. Fundamentally important for us as believers, as we face opposition, as we face hardship and difficulties, we must live it out. Step out and live it out at all costs. Live it out. Despite the lies, despite the deception, despite the feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, live it out. Live it out. Because that's what God's people did. That's how they overcame. Revelation 12, verse 11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The big thing here, the game-changing event here, is that at the cross, you recognize that there is more to life than this life. That there is life eternal. And that there are things that we could work for, not just for treasures here on earth, but treasures in heaven. And that there is something that we can do, that our lives here today, are here today, gone tomorrow. And that this is all temporary. Everything that we're in, all temporary. That there is eternal, and that we are saved. We are saved, that we have the gift of eternal life. And the devil, Satan, can do whatever he may try to do to us, but he can never take away the gift of eternal life. And with that knowledge, with that, we move forward. We have hope. We keep pressing on. We say, okay, you may take whatever you want here, but there's something out there further for me. I have a promise. I have salvation. I have heaven to look forward to. You may try as you may, try as you may to make earth hell for me, but I have heaven to look forward to. I have heaven to look forward to. Try as you may, but I have victory through you, through Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, whatever it is. Because the enemy wants to bring us down, wants to destroy us, wants to invoke hopelessness and helplessness. Wants to lie and deceive and say, there's no hope for you in your marriage. There's no hope for you in your job. There's no hope for you in your ministry. There's no hope for you in your life. He wants us to be all discouraged and distracted. He wants us just to raise our hands and say, I give up. But now is the time. Now is the time when you are feeling the lowest, when you're feeling like there isn't a chance in hell or in heaven to make it through. Now is the time to live it out. Now is the time, my friends, to persevere and keep living out the testimony. Keep being a man or a woman of integrity. Be keeping faithful to God. Keep walking in his commandments. Be the one to love. Be the one to forgive. Be the one to step out. Be the one to share your faith. Now is the time to persevere. Now is the time, because as you do, you will overcome. The overcomers are the ones that overcome. Amen. And step out and walk out. Not give up. Not give up and say, surrender. Because we need to speak out. Speak out this incredible truth that you and I, my friends, we are victorious. You are victorious. You are victorious in Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus Christ did, this game-changing thing that he did on the cross. We have his covenant, his commitment, his promise. No matter what we face, he will bring us victory by his power and by his authority. We could believe it. We could speak it out. We could live it. Come hell or high water, we can live it. Come hell or high water, we could live it. I want to encourage you, don't step down, step up. Amen.